Yeah.
You should really apologize, Britt, for what you did in the dream.
That's why I was, like, trying not to get too hard on her, because I'm like, I can understand this isn't you, but, like, I just want to, like, you know, I just have to ask you because my brain won't let me not ask you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to SidSock. All of our lives are in perfect working condition, and my name is Kendrick.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Joe.
And I'm Kevin.
I feel like 50% of our lives are fine.
I mean, on average, like we're a passing grade. If you took all of our lives and you figured out how much of it was in working condition, and then averaged that out, definitely passing grade.
A 50% is passing.
60, right?
In America, yep.
They don't do grades. They don't do like lettered grades anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they do numbers.
Cowards.
Numbers. It's 1 through 4. And
hours.
One is not meeting expectations.
Two is working towards expectations.
Better. 3 is meeting expectations. 4 is exceeding expectations.
Okay, so I'm sorry, but 1 and 2 is basically just whether or not the child in question is adorable then, right?
Yeah.
Because neither of those are meeting expectations, but one of those has a better like spin.
Yeah, they have a better attitude. They try harder. That could just be for elementary too, because my kids aren't in middle school or high school yet. So
I just always felt
report
like
back when they are
in like Dr. Violet's class in college. Like the curves were so low on all of his tests because everything was so hard that like a normal F became a B, and it's like whose line is it anyway?
Where I feel
where
like
everything's made up and the points don't matter.
I mean, we're dropping names, but I think he passed away a while ago, so I feel like. Yeah. Ted Violet's grading scheme was based off of a 19th century tome that he unearthed, and we were all just like, if you were lucky, you got to experience it. Like, it wasn't even a matter of did you learn anything, did you excel? It was like, no, you were exposed to the sacred mantras here, and then maybe you did okay compared to the rest of the class, but let's be honest, you're stupid compared to your forebears, you garbage child.
He did have best, driest humor, though. Like,
oh, no, he was...
Yeah, I love that guy.
Really nice guy, actually. Yeah. Really
nice
guy. I can't speak highly enough of him, but I do feel like his grading scheme was based off of how hard he could punch you in the dick.
Mm.
What? Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm trying to remember Violet, and I'm wondering if that was one of the... Probably one of the buildings I wasn't in.
Who? And he was one of the very old individuals.
Gotcha. Yep.
Did
he do an art class for a while, or was that one of the other ones?
That's
no, you're thinking...
Didn't he do an art class?
He didn't know. I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, it was the other art professor who...
The art guy, he was an older dude.
Yeah, he passed away while we were there.
Smoked a lot of weed. Yeah, he smoked a lot of weed.
Yeah.
Turns out old people pass away.
Well, Ted Violet was unfortunately a fairly... skeletal individual, and he liked to like drift up to the doors that had
awesome.
Like half-size windows and just kind of look at people. And the worst part that I heard was he used to live on the side of town where the cemetery was, and right up until his death, he was an avid jogger. And so,
I said, sweet, that's awesome. Like, I know where he's going, and I love it.
So he was often seen jogging around the cemetery area, and so people were like, "Ah, shit, the dead have risen, and they've got cardio." Like,
they could run way faster than me.
We're fucked, guys. I don't know how to deal with this.
Yeah, it's like the worst combination of, like, runner zombies from the remake of Dawn of the Dead, but they're in way better shape than you'll ever be.
Well, and he knew that he looked kind of creepy. Like, he was aware of that because he was not a young man and he knew what he was up to. But he was one of those guys who just, he was like, I'm going to die. I'm going to be preserved well when I die, you know. And he had had a dry sense of humor, like a dry, raspy, mummy-like sense of humor. And I don't know. I feel completely comfortable talking all this shit about him just because the few times I interact with him, I know that he'd be like, yeah, nice. Like, take the jokes, guys. Let's have fun.
His dad jokes were like grandpa jokes. If you caught him, you'd be like, yeah, I caught that.
they were Pharaoh jokes.
Pharaoh jokes. I think, like, I was going to say, like, I think he was one of the people that convinced me that liches are actually real, because I think he used his ability to understand physics to transcend his own lifetime.
So did he just like end up breaking his phylactery or something? At some point, he's like, I'm done.
I mean, unless you go hardcore Voldemort and just split your soul into like seven things, it's really easy to break a phylactery, I assume.
I think that what happened was some of the other professors were getting too close to his immortality, like his phylactery, and then they had some probably epic battle on the top of that ridge. and during lightning and snow. The younger one won. I don't want to name names of the living, but I think one of the younger ones may have.
Why? These are people in our lives. We're allowed to talk about them. Like,
I know, it just feels weird to name names of people that I haven't seen in 10 years.
But you're always about, like, if I hadn't have made this one decision in college, I'd never be where I'm at. Those people are super important to you.
Right, but not on this podcast that nobody listens to.
Well, I mean, maybe they care. Every Joe talks about his trials and tribulations. Maybe we need a Kendrick story time.
Yeah, I want to hear some Kendrick stories.
They're all depressing and make you want to drink. I think is the...
Yeah, that's true. Let me tell you about this nightmare that I had involving a wizard who was possessed by a hand.
Okay, I want to say, just real quick, I have heard people say that, like, there's nothing more boring than hearing anybody else's dreams, and to that I say, fuck you, tell me your fucking dream. I gotta hear this now. You got a wizard that was possessed by a hand?
Okay, so I had a horrible nightmare the other night. I don't mean... I guess this is the Kendrick Dream Hour, and I'm sorry. I had a bad...
This is what this podcast is all about, man.
We literally asked for this.
That's fair. So I routinely have horrifying nightmares, and I say horrifying. I'm not going to relate the worst, but I think I've related to each of you some of them so that you can attest for the podcast's sake that my nightmares are horrifying. It is one of the reasons that I don't often watch horror films or overly graphic violence, because not that I don't enjoy it or that it upsets me, but that it feeds into this weird, like, Rolodex of nightmare fuel that I have, and then occasionally I'll wake up sometime and then dry heave. It's been a long time since I've been that bad, so things are mostly okay. Don't cry for me. I'm already dead. But the last couple of nights, I've had these really vivid dreams. I've actually successfully forgotten two nights ago. But this morning when I woke up at about 4:30 or 5, I woke up from a series of nightmares. And I always get these serieses right there. It's always not one. It's like you wake up and then the guy's still there. And I was – oh, shit. Now it's all blurry. But I forget the intro now. But basically I was fighting a necromantic wizard who – had superhuman strength, and I was trying to bring all my firearms and swords and knives and guns, and both guns and firearms apparently, pole arms and everything that I had available to fight him. And then when I was killing him in a supermarket, for some reason, I found out that while I crushed his head and murdered this guy, he was not the necromantic wizard, as his hand flew away from his body and somebody else picked it up, and the hand attached to them, displacing their hand and absorbed into their body, possessing them, and now this random passerby became the wizard that I had to fight, or rather the one who had decided that I needed to die. And so while I was exhausted killing this one wizard, turns out he was right over there the whole time. So now I'm fighting another wizard, and I'm running away like I don't understand what's going on. And I'm trying to figure this out with Joe and Tyler and whoever else was around to help me figure this out. I think one of y'all got murdered. And I'm dealing with this wizard, and we're like, we've got to destroy the hand. And so we go
you
after
always
it.
Always have to step on the hands. That's what we've learned.
You stomp on the hands so they can't cast spells. Yeah, and I tried that, and I cut the hand. And so it turns out it's more complicated than that, because what I created was five finger wizards.
Shit.
Each of which was capable of possessing another individual with just the finger.
Oh, that's awful.
Which led to, and I shit you not, this is where I was at off of waking up at 3 and then going to sleep and waking up again. I don't know why, and this is a weird... You can make fun of me, and I invite you all to do so, but I'm going to share my best recollection of this, which was we identified that the finger had possessed somebody who was going to marry somebody that we knew. None of these people are real. They're just hypothetical people that I knew in the dream, okay? And I was going to hide inside her wedding dress so that I could spring out and cut the finger off, thus saving the individual who was being possessed. Cue 30 in-time dream minutes of me working out the logistics of hiding inside someone's dress while still wearing what obviously I chose to be a sharp broadsword claymore.
That's a hell of a dress, dude.
I'm hiding inside it. And for no reason at all, I'm also in a kilt. This is the kind of shit that I sleep with. This is why I hate being asleep.
You know, besides the fact that the wizard just kept possessing people, it sounds like a really interesting movie I'd watch.
Yeah, I was going to say, this it sounds like more of an adventure than a dream.
I want to say about all of this, it was still in my mind framed as a movie. With a level of special effects on par with Peter Jackson's Dead Alive.
Oh, wow.
So super duper campy and just gross.
Yes. So it was really jarring because it was like, this is all horrifying. My friends are being murdered. I'm hiding in a wedding dress. This makes no sense. But I swear to God, I just saw Peter Jackson with a boom mic off set, and that doesn't make any fucking sense.
That does sound
anyway, here's
exciting.
Wonderwolf.
I wish we could watch that while it was happening to you.
Yes.
Hopefully.
I wish I could capture my dreams so that you guys could watch them and then vomit with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or get Joe to just direct a movie about it.
I'm down.
It'll never be the same. Like, it will never be the vision of Kindred. Like,
yeah.
It's like the whole we're never going to see it through his eyes. That's what I want.
Well, see, like,
I'm sorry. I just had a moment. I had to mute and have a small coughing fit. Kevin, did you just use the verb erect to describe making a movie?
No, I think he said direct,
no,
but he
direct.
Said
direct. Okay.
Direct.
And so it's like,
that's fantastic. I mean, Joe's going to erect a movie for you. It's like, what the fuck just happened?
Yes.
like it's like a monolith.
Joe's a movie erector.
A movie erector.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for explaining that. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
I just
happening
can't stop
right
thinking
now?
Of Joe as like a gigolo who just gets movies hard. Like, he's like,
oh,
are you, Joe, are you the movie fluffer?
Yeah,
I'll
that's
be
a band
movie
name
fluffer
for sure.
Yes.
Movie fluffer.
Film fluffer.
Film fluffer. Now we're talking.
I like the alliteration on film fluffer.
Yeah. Film fluffer is where it's at.
Going into the data bank.
Now I just am trying to think of other alliterative like movie terms like a something with cinema. I can't think of it.
Like microphone molester.
Oh, that's
Kevin.
Solid.
That's what we keep you around for.
So, yeah, Film Fluffer is the band name. Microphone Molester is their hit single.
Yeah, I think I saw those guys live. So yeah, these are the kinds of dreams I have. I had one where I was a detective in a house, tracing down a murder mystery. We were lost in the woods, stranded. I had to walk through snow. I got killed. That was awkward.
What happens when you get killed in your dream? Do you wake up after, or you just have like what happens?
So sometimes I wake up. Sometimes there's a strange darkness. This sounds really weird to say it out loud, and I'm probably going to... this is going to be really awkward when I edit it. I'm going to be cringing so bad. But, like, sometimes there's, like, this strange, calm, quiet, like, nothingness.
Just utter oblivion?
You finally feel
kind of
peace.
Oblivion is too harsh, but peace is kind of it. But peace implies more than there is. It's a sort of... It's the nothingness. Like... Peace is too strong of a word.
Hmm.
It sounds peaceful.
Yeah. And then sometimes I'll wake up, and waking up is the operative word. It's like it's an increased energy state to come back to reality.
Dude, you're probably like astral projecting, and you just don't know it yet.
I think I might actually just be dying a little bit.
We're all dying a little bit.
The sweet
release
of death.
You're the only person experiencing it in their dreams. That's great.
No, and that's where, not to get too macabre, but when people talk about the sweet release of death, in my dreams, I get that when I have been killed, which is a distressing number of times. Where you're like, oh, wow, nothing hurts anymore, and everything's okay.
That's
kind of
why
necessarily
peace,
good.
You know,
it's not, like... I mean, I don't want to say okay, but, like, okay in the same way that, like, It's not the sensation that you get when you take off a pair of shoes that are ill-fitting. But it's more like... I don't know how to articulate it. It's a nothingness. It's a lack of experience. It's like... I don't know. It's something like that. It's weird. Jesus, take the wheel.
Do you guys want to hear
my dreams are pretty boring in comparison.
I had a dream last night that I had a dog, and I was, like, sad because he wasn't feeling good, so I took him to the vet, and they said that he had, like, there was, like, a doggy daycare that I could send him to, like, socialize with other dogs for, like, $5 a month, and I was like, fuck yeah, I will. And then my dog got to go to doggy daycare for the rest of his life, and we were happy. That was basically it. Then I had a dream the other day where Amy divorced me, and she was just being super nonchalant about it, and it, like, crushed my soul. And then I woke up four times, and I didn't know if I was the reality where we were divorced or the reality where we were still together.
See that second dream is more like
that. Yeah.
That second dream is more like what I'm into, where you wake up and you're like, so we're all enemies now, right? Like, I'm alone in the world and everybody hates me, right?
Yeah. That's just Tuesday. Jeez, yeah, I think you talked to me about that, Kyle. That's rough. A fucking brutal
I talked
one.
To Amy about it, too. I was like, we're good, right? Because that crushed me.
Yeah.
You should really apologize, Britt, for what you did in the dream.
That's why I was, like, trying not to get too hard on her, because I'm like, I can understand this isn't you, but, like, I just want to, like, you know, I just have to ask you because my brain won't let me not ask you.
No, I've definitely had that where I've had arguments with people, and you have all been victim of my response, which has probably been super awkward, where I'm like, hey, so, how are you doing? Are you doing okay? And it's not, I haven't quite got so far as to be like, are we okay? But I'm like, hey, buddy, how's it going? You want to hang out sometime? This is your opportunity to tell me if you're mad at me or want to murder me or something. Like,
turns out normal people don't get mad at other people as much as we do, I guess. Because no one else seems to think of this shit when I talk to people about it. Even Amy. Like, I'm like, did you think this? She's just like, what are you talking about? Like, that didn't even cross my mind. And I'm like, I must be fucking insane. Because, like, there's no other way to explain the way that my brain works. Like,
well, I invite you all. If you ever, and I think I actually have confronted some of you with this, a very similar narrative, which is like, if you ever find yourself in a waking moment where you're unsure of what's going on, regardless of where we are at personally, emotionally, socially, professionally, I invite you to check in and say, or sexually, sure, nice. Invite you to check in and say, you know, ask. Are we fighting? Are you mad? Are we okay?
Yeah.
And I will respond as authentically as I can.
Yes.
So he'll just say yes in different languages.
Duh. I will offer this to any person that I know, because I understand how easy it is to have really vivid dreams and get yourself into a mental state, dreams notwithstanding, where you start to get disassociated with reality, and you start to give yourself into a kind of negative or positive mental state where you're like, oh, this is how it is. And then you go interact with that person and you're like, oh, that's not how it is at all.
That was my reality.
That was my advice, is just go say something. Like,
yeah, because like,
generally I'm like,
how
like
you
Amy,
doing?
Are you concerned about this? And she's like, I don't know. Like, I didn't even think about that. And I'm like, oh, cool. I'm going to go back to doing things that are positive now. Like,
well, and I welcome anybody. And this is a formal invitation to anybody who can hear my voice. Come to me, and I will not judge you for what you perceive.
Same.
I will not be oversensitive. I will not be like, why do you think that about me, you piece of human garbage? You're more than welcome to share your paranoia, and I will assuage your concerns or tell you why I want to crush you.
Like a bug.
And on that note, like, comment, and subscribe, everybody.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll talk about my meat story next time.
And then come ask us if this is the line for fighting or if this is the line for chutney.
For chutney! This is a song. It's a song about chutney.
Bye.
Chutney.
Tasty sauce. You can have it with your puppet. I'm with your mangoes. Chutney. Chutney.